Hi, this is Christine from LaGrange, Kentucky. When the weather's nice, I save my Scandalwater podcast to listen to when I mow. I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Scandalwater, where the tea is hot and the conversation lively.
Your hosts, Candy
and Ashley,
will discuss a peculiar story somehow related to the entertainment industry. This podcast might not change the world, but it just might satisfy your thirst for an intriguing tale.
Oh, it's that time of day. Tune in and hear what the ladies say. It's time to bend your ear when the silver screen appears. Stories about the stage and screen and everything in between. So come on and join the fun. The curtain opens in 3, 2, 1. Stories and scandal water, it's where you need to be. Stories and scandal water, let's pour you a cup of tea.
Morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
You know, I was driving in this morning, and I do this a lot. I think I probably even mentioned it a lot here, but as I'm driving in, because it's a longer drive for me, a lot of times I'm noticing if it's a pretty day, I am taking in the sunshine, I'm taking in the back roads, and I was doing that this morning, and all of a sudden it hit me that this is Friday.
Yes.
And that's unusual for us, because
yes.
We usually record earlier in the week. We had
do.
To reschedule because you weren't feeling well earlier
yes,
this week,
yes.
Unfortunately. But the other thing that hit me was, I actually had a conversation last Friday with a family friend. We were talking about the fact that it has rained 3 or 4 Fridays in a row. It's been a pattern, but today is beautiful. And then after that thought struck me, I was paying even more attention as I was driving, and I was noticing how many birds I saw.
I know. And
they were flying overhead.
Yeah.
There were some walking in the grass. There were times they were crossing my path as I was driving across the road. And I thought, how perfect, because today we are talking about Nightbird.
And it's also Good Friday.
And it is also Good Friday.
For us. And I think she would like that.
I think she would too. That's perfect. This is our third episode for our April Gone Too Soon.
I'm already tearing up. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay.
I know. We have 4 total that are around that theme. And then, as you guys know, last week we kind of surprised you with a variety episode. But we are back into our theme this week. And we are talking about just a lovely young woman.
I know.
Her name is actually Jane Marcheski. And how did you first come across Nightbird? How did she come across your radar, Ashley?
I believe it's what was for most people, which was the America's Got Talent. I don't think that I saw it live. I think I saw a replay of it, because as we've talked about before, it's hard for me to watch game shows or any of that kind of stuff, because I get very stressed for the people, and I can only watch it after I know everything's okay. So I watched a playback of it, and I remember feeling just so filled with emotion when she got that golden buzzer.
Yes. You know, it's funny, because I think I told you that I saw it live, but I was talking to Kirk, and he said, we have watched a lot of AGT over the years. We kind of come in and out. And he said he doesn't think that we did watch that live.
Oh, okay.
I think I probably was like you. I think I was one of the people who heard all the sensationalism after it came out. So many people talking about it, and probably watched a clip, but then I got caught up in it after that. But the point is, as a reminder for you guys, it was during the season 16 auditions for AGT, June of 2021, when Jane Marcheski, she was using the name Nightbird, sang her original song, It's Okay, and received a golden buzzer from Simon.
From Simon.
Yeah. Who was moved.
He was.
Visibly moved. But before she sang, they asked her a little bit about her background, and she shared what she had been going through with cancer. And when Howie said to her, she had been saying, everything's okay, you know, it's okay. And he said, so you're not okay. She assured him she was, and added, quote, it's important that everyone knows I'm so much more than the bad things that happened to me.
Yeah.
And then she sang that song, and I want you to hear just a little over a minute of what they talked about after.
Your voice is stunning.
It is.
Absolutely stunning. There was something about that song, after the way you just almost casually told us what you're going through, and, you know.
You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy.
There have been some great singers this year. I'm not going to give you a yes. I'm going to give you something else.
it still moves me.
I know.
Looking at that, like, it still gets me.
Simon knows. He knows how to play it up where he says, I'm not going to give you a yes. And you're like, and Sophia looks at him like, what? And he says, I'm going to give you something else. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. It's just the emotion hits you.
Oh, goodness. I was so caught up in it. And the thing is, you heard her say, you can't wait until life's not hard to decide you're going to be happy. She said so many things like that that just were absolutely...
Nuggets of wisdom.
Nuggets of wisdom that filled you with admiration because you're not sure that you could have that same perspective if you were going through the same thing.
Right.
In that same audition, she shared that she had been told she had a 2% chance of survival and that there was cancer in her lungs, her spine, and liver. And she went on to say, but 2% isn't 0%.
Right.
2% is something. And I wish people knew how amazing it is. That's who she was.
I know.
And that's what I think, in addition to her incredible talent, I think that's what touched people to the core. So Terry Crews, the host of AGT, said back in 2021, just months after Jane auditioned, that her audition had already been viewed more than 200 million times. I have no idea what that number would be today.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I went and looked up just one video of her audition, and it had 69 million that one video.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable the impact she's had, the number of people she's reached. Mm-hmm. And so our episode today,
if we can make it through,
I know, is going to be honoring the life of the very inspirational Jane Marcheski, known as Nightbird. And I wanted to make sure, we've already started hearing a little bit of her voice.
Yes.
I want to make sure that we hear her voice throughout. There are so many interviews that were out there. I found one I really liked. I pulled most of these from that interview, which will be in my show notes. But you're going to hear from her, and you're actually also going to get to hear from someone else. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Who's your rock?
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, definitely. But other than that, my family has shown up for me in the most selfless ways. It's easy to think that, you know, love doesn't exist because everyone truly is selfish. Sometimes they love you for the way that you make them feel, or they love you because they love who they are when they're with you. But in my case, I really have had nothing to offer back. I've been a total burden. But my family has shown up for me with such joy. That'll make me emotional more than anything. People who will sacrifice and not expect anything back.
And that's your family.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play that for you because, first of all, I thought that was beautiful. Secondly, I did not find out until I watched the service they held for Jane after her passing that her younger brother gave up his job and moved with her to California for 2 years to take care of her during the end of her life. So you want to talk about showing up for somebody. Yeah. And it was her older brother, Mitch, who actually gave the shout out to Andrew and said how proud he was of his brother during the service. He's the one who told that story so that everyone would know, because he said, Andrew's not the kind of guy who's going to tell anybody. Mitch, the older brother, called Jane his best friend. They were so close, so tight growing up. And Mitch has gone on to really work on fulfilling Jane's legacy after her passing. We're going to be hearing so much more from Mitch because I reached out to him and I asked if he would share some audio clips, and he very, very kindly did so.
It's so sweet.
So here is just a brief word from him right now to get us started.
This is Mitch Marcheski, and the CEO of the Nightbird Foundation and Jane's big brother. For those who only know Jane from AGT, it's really difficult for me to explain who Jane was outside of that moment, partially because who she was on that stage was who she was in real life. But, you know, she was my little sister. She was an aunt. She was a daughter. She was a Christian. Like, she had so many different facets and factors to her that were really beautiful. And I think the thing that was so wonderful about Jane was she was so funny. Like, she was a really funny person. And the ability for her to make somebody laugh and to bring hope and inspiration to others through her humor was just unprecedented, in my opinion. And I think that's what I miss the most, is that my daughters aren't going to grow up seeing that fun, prankster, silly part of Jane. They're going to grow up obviously seeing the hope and the inspiration that we all experience on America's Got Talent. But it's the smaller moments of her wisdom, her wit, her ability just to show us what it looked like to live a really great life in the midst of tragedy.
Love that.
They're so well-spoken. The whole family is so well-spoken. Absolutely. One of the things that strikes me with Jane is when she's speaking, she doesn't say anything superfluous. She just says, mm-hmm. and then she stops. She doesn't fill space with extra words. She seems to think about what she wants to say. And then they all come, everything that she says comes out as these just nuggets of the wisdom that we were talking about. It just seems divine.
So profound. Yeah. So profound. I think that's her performer background. We're mm-hmm. going to talk about mm-hmm. her background in a minute. I think that's who she is, I think, as a person who really thinks about life, a poet,
yeah.
a lyricist, yeah. a songwriter, a performer, a believer,
yeah.
because she talks about her faith a yeah. lot. And yeah. I think all of that comes out or came out in interviews and when she was speaking. But what I loved that Mitch brought out, that as someone who only knew her through yeah. her public persona,
yeah.
I had not
the
seen,
fun.
Yes, until I started researching her, I had not seen all the fun, mm-hmm. all the wits, mm-hmm. all the mischief. She was so full of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go ahead and start talking about her life, and okay. we will be hearing a lot more from Mitch and Jane herself as well as we go through here. But she was born to Mitchell and Sharon Marcheski of Zanesville, Ohio, with three siblings. We've already mentioned Mitch, who's older, and Andrew, who's younger, but we have not yet mentioned that she had a sister named Caitlin.
Mm.
And by the way, this family is talented
yeah.
because both Mitch and Caitlin actually sang during Jane's memorial service. Mm. So the beautiful voices. I know that they are singers as well. Mm-hmm. In fact, Caitlin wrote a song for that
memorial.
Yes. So they also have, I think, a lot of talent in that area. But according to her website, Jane tried her hand at writing lyrics when she was only 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's when it all started. She helped her mom compose an original piece about the Christmas star, and that was a song that she actually later performed in front of more than 800 people at their church. So she started performing
Phew.
And writing at an early age,
yeah.
and she said by the time she was 10, she knew she wanted to be a singer.
Mm.
When she was 11, she asked her mom if she could enter a local contest that was modeled after American Idol. Mom agreed,
uh-huh.
and in her words, mom gave her, well, both her parents gave her the resources she needed to prepare,
uh-huh.
but she said she did terribly.
Well, I think we all need to do terribly just to get us humble, you know, at one point,
that's
just
right.
be like, okay.
But it motivated her. That's
yeah.
the thing. She was always reflecting. She said that's what led her to take vocal lessons,
yeah.
to work on specifically that skill of gaining confidence
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that stage presence in front of a crowd. And a lot of that came through singing at her church.
Mm.
In her eulogy, it noted, quote, "Before she became Nightbird, Jane dedicated her high school years volunteering with the youth ministry at Cornerstone Church in Licking County, Ohio. She also spent many nights and weekends leading worship at Christian events throughout Ohio. It was during this time when she cultivated her love for music and ministry."
Nice.
And then, according to her, in multiple interviews, she said she really got started down her path as a singer-songwriter at college. She was a student at Liberty University, where she was studying to earn a degree in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And on
oh,
the
that would also be helpful, a degree in marketing.
Well, true,
yeah.
true. But on the side, she was doing a lot of work with her music. In an interview with NBC4, she said, quote, "I started recording music when I was about 20, and it was about halfway through college, and a friend invited me to come record original songs in the studio for free. And I did that. And this, the community in the college town where I was at, loved it. And that was that. It was kind of my little launching pad as an artist who wrote, sang songs, played shows, and recorded." And when the interviewer asked if she was a Christian artist, she replied that she was an artist who
mm-hmm.
was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained that she personally wanted to write for a broader entertainment world rather than only for people who believe the same way she did. But mm-hmm. she added, quote, "As an artist now, I make music for everybody, and there's no area of my life where my faith is not going to seep into it. It's like impossible. It's part of the core of me. So if you listen for it and look for it, then you'll see Jesus all over it. You'll find it there." And then according to her website, it was in 2012 that the first recording she referenced in her clip, this 3-song acoustic EP called Lines, came out. And the next year she released Ocean and Sky, which was an organic and optimistic 6-song folk EP, according
nice.
To her website. And Her songs were well received. Her college town loved it. Mm-hmm. She started building an audience, but it was local. It was in that area. In 2015, she married another singer named Jeremy Claudio, and they moved to Nashville. There, her eulogy said she attended the Belonging Church and became a worship leader and a youth camp counselor, and she also ministered to the women inmates at the Davidson County Jail. She took a little hiatus from music for a little bit, but she had it in the back of her mind. She was thinking about that dream of singing and writing, and according to her, in various sources, about 2 years after moving to Nashville, she was preparing to release new music under the name Nightbird. Mm-hmm. In her interview, she explains how she came to that name, mm-hmm. Nightbird.
Nightbird came from a dream. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Yeah, it's a wild story. I had the same dream 3 nights in a row. I woke up and heard birds singing outside in the middle of the night. The first 2 times, it really was just a dream. And the third time I woke up, I heard it in real life. And I saw the birds outside my window at 3 a.m. I checked the clock, singing like it was daylight. And something about that hit me. It felt so poetic that these birds were singing as if it was morning, but there were no signs of it yet. And that's what I wanted to embody.
Is the spelling significant or just to be cute?
It's not significant. I wish it was.
In a different interview, also talking about how she got that name Nightbird, she said, quote, "I want to be the bird that sings in anticipation of the good things that I trust are coming." Mm. I thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I always wondered how she got the name.
Yeah.
So things were going so well for her. And then, of course, cancer.
Is this the first time she's diagnosed then, what you're getting ready to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha. And I'm actually going to let her
talk about it.
Yeah. This is her telling about that.
Tell me about the cancer journey.
short question, long answer. I was first diagnosed with cancer in 2017 with breast cancer. I underwent treatment for maybe a year, went to remission. I was in remission for about a year. The first time, all things considered, was kind of a breeze. And then I got diagnosed again on New Year's Eve 2019 with innumerable tumors throughout my lungs, liver, lymph nodes, ribs, and spine. Too many for the doctors to count. And the statistics said I had a 3 to 6 month life expectancy, 2% chance of survival. I had just turned 29, and I just didn't feel right about pursuing cancer treatment the way that I did before. Conventionally, something in my gut just didn't sit right with that. And I was so frail at the time, I couldn't have handled it. So I kind of went a completely different route with functional and alternative medicine at a clinic in California. And they completely cured me. Well, they completely eradicated any signs of cancer in my body in 16 weeks. The scan was clean, empty, no signs of abnormal activity, which was absolutely a miracle, incredible. However, there was a lot of other things going on in my life, and I think the trauma of everything that happened, it did something to my brain. And so a specialist actually told me that my brain looked like it had suffered a physical head trauma because of everything that I had gone through. And so I suffered a little bit of a breakdown.
What's a little bit of a breakdown?
A lot of a breakdown, really. I was almost catatonic for about 3 months, not getting out of bed, I was sleeping maybe in 20 minute increments throughout the day and night. I couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't eat. I could barely form a sentence.
There was more trauma beyond cancer.
Yeah. Well, soon after I got that 3 to 6 month diagnosis, my husband let me know that he no longer wanted to be married. And so while I was also dealing with, you know, fighting for my life, I was, you know, kind of abandoned by the one person that should have never done that.
Wow.
I know.
And to hear her tell about mm-hmm. it in her own words. And there were so many things there that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, you just kind of had superficial knowledge, I think, mm-hmm. if you were just watching the news, mm-hmm. you know, after her AGT audition. So I tried to review the details a little bit because she went through that pretty quickly. But here's my understanding based on looking at different sources, some of which were from her. Her website gives a lot of information, the Nightbird Foundation website. So a lot of it's directly
from them.
Her or the family.
Okay.
But it sounded to me as though she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in 2017. But this is directly from her website. She said, "Nightbird went into remission in 2018 and soon after hit the studio to record Girl in a Bubble, a nod to the alien experience of illness. The song was released in the spring of 2019, and that year she opened for Grammy Award-winning artist Tori Kelly in the same arena on her college campus that she was never quite good enough to reach before. Quote, "The show was the resurrection of a dream for me. It felt like a wink from God saying, 'You're good enough to do this, kid.'" So she was in remission when it returned in 2019, as she talked about in that clip, in a metastatic state. A doctor gave her a 2% chance of survival, estimating she only had 3 to 6 months to live. And as she said, she went for that different approach. She went to that clinic in Southern California, and she had those miraculous results.
Right.
But she said, now this is before she had the breakdown, she said she immediately focused on recording new music. Quote, "When I was in the thick of illness, I swore to myself that I would write the songs that people need to get through those times. And that's what I'll do." That's what she told herself. Mm-hmm. But then in 2020 was when she was devastated by the separation and then divorce from her husband, which led to the emotional breakdown that she talked about, and also the cancer returning. It was all at that same time. It was just absolutely devastating. The Nightbird Foundation website said, quote, "In 2020, the doctors gave Jane 6 months to live. Faced with limited options in Nashville, Tennessee, Jane moved to California to begin integrative treatments that extended her life by over 2 years." So her decision to decide to go and, mm-hmm. and get these treatments, mm-hmm. they all believe is what made the difference in
the 6 months versus 2 years.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So as she told the judges during her audition on AGT, at that time, she had been told cancer was in her lungs, spine, and liver, and that she had only a 2% chance of surviving, but she was pressing forward with her dreams. Mm-hmm. She was going for it. And again, her AGT performance occurred in June of 2021 during those season 16 auditions. They asked her in this interview about her experience, you know, how did she approach it? Dealing with the illness, dealing with the situation she was in, how did she approach it? Here's what she said.
"When you stepped out on that stage, did you know something remarkable was going to happen?"
"I didn't know. I thought maybe. I thought before getting up on there, I try to recenter when I come up in front of a crowd or on a stage of any kind and remember that it's not about me. I want to be a whole person on my own. And so I don't need these people to like me in order for me to feel complete. And that wasn't always the case. But stepping up on that stage, I thought, you know what? It's not this opportunity is not about me being a superstar or being famous or getting all these people to love me. I'm getting up here because I have a story and a voice and a song to give to the world as a gift. I know it's going to inspire people. And so it's not about me taking applause from all these millions of people. I recentered and I said, no, it's about me giving a story and a sense of possibility to people that need that."
So those people that have needed it, have you heard from them?
Yeah, thousands. I'm not even kidding. Thousands of people have reached out and told me their own heartbreak. And it's with all that I've endured and gone through, I know how much the tiniest little spark can make a difference in somebody's darkness. And I wouldn't be here if there weren't other people who told me what is possible. And I can't make promises to people about what will happen, but I can tell people what is possible. I can show people what is possible. And there's no greater honor. There's nothing that means more to me than that.
I loved that.
I'm so glad you chose that clip because I did see part of this interview and that quote really affected me because it kind of goes to what we were talking about with Matthew Perry's episode about the stuff that he was searching for. And she addresses that, you know, it's not about the fame. It's about me giving to them, not me taking love from the audience.
Yes. You know? And she said it took her a while. It wasn't always that way. She said, but I wanted to be whole mm-hmm. in and of myself.
Yes, yes.
I thought, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. her insight, her maturity and her development as a person mm-hmm. who gets it. But then she went on to say something else profound when she was talking about how much it meant to her that she was hearing she wanted to give a gift and it was received. People were saying, you helped us have some hope. You mm-hmm. did give us that tiny spark that even though we may be going through tough things too, there's a possibility for good things to come. Mm-hmm. I've got to keep that hope. And I was like, that was just beautiful.
It was.
It's just beautiful. I actually also asked Mitch as a family member, as a brother who probably heard her talk about it many times and also saw the impact it had on Jane. Mm-hmm. I asked him to weigh in mm-hmm. about this. And here's what he said.
Jean's experience on America's Got Talent and even her friendship with Simon Cowell, they just meant the world to her. Her ability to accomplish her dream of changing the world through her music, through her performance on AGT, just it was incredible to be able to have her go from a cancer patient that was diagnosed really, you know, early on in her life, to thinking that her dreams may never be realized because of that cancer, to being able to literally have her life transformed overnight through the Golden Buzzer, through America's Got Talent, the opportunity to be on that, but also just the response, I think, from Simon and from the world to her performance was an amazing thing for her to be able to accomplish her dream, even though she didn't think that she was going to die, you know, less than a year later. The ability for her to experience what she had been working her whole life to accomplish, I think, was just an amazing, amazing thing for her to experience.
And boy, did she get to see her dreams coming true.
My goodness.
Because after she sang her original song on AGT, her song, It's Okay, went on to become a hit, charting number one on iTunes. And again, the audition itself has millions upon millions of views. Just amazing response.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there were bad things to come.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that in a minute, but why don't we take a break first?
Okay. When we began this journey back in 2021, we knew one of the main components we'd need was a solid website. Our friend Joshua Reith had a website design service and worked closely with us to create just what we needed.
After 2 years and over 100 episodes, we began to feel the need to refresh and relaunch. Joshua worked with us again to elevate our podcast to the next level. We now have a more streamlined look and the ability to play our episodes straight from the website, along with many other updates and improvements.
Josh has an incredible work ethic and unending patience for moments when we need a quick change or tech support, like when I accidentally hit publish on an episode instead of schedule. And we are incredibly satisfied with both his design work and his personal integrity.
So, we are thrilled to inform our listeners that he is expanding his business. Joshua Reith Design is now a WordPress designer and developer, and he is currently running a special for new clients. For the first year of hosting and domain services, he is offering a 25% discount and 3 months of advanced features.
So, to take advantage of this offer, listeners can use the code SW25 when they book a meeting. And to book that meeting, you simply visit joshuareith.com. That's Joshua, R-I-E-T-H.com.
Cheers! And we are back. So again, the response to her audition was so powerful, but unfortunately, even though she had received that golden buzzer, Nightbird, Jane Marcheski, did not get to advance to the next round. It was only a couple months later, in early August, she posted this message on her Instagram account. Quote, sharing my heart with the world on AGT has been an honor and a dream come true. My point of view this summer has been astounding. What a miracle that the pain I've walked through can be reworked into beauty that makes people all over the world open their eyes wider. Since my audition, my health has taken a turn for the worse and the fight with cancer is demanding all of my energy and attention. I am so sad to announce that I won't be able to continue forward on this season of AGT. Life doesn't always give breaks to those that deserve it, but we knew that already.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all your support. It means the world to me. Stay with me. I'll be better soon. I'm planning my future, not my legacy. Pretty beat up, but I've still got dreams. And then after her withdrawal, which again was in early August, she did continue to focus on her health as she said she needed to, but she also continued to focus on her music
mm-hmm.
because she was determined
mm-hmm.
to go after her mm-hmm. dreams. So she started giving interviews such as the one we've been referencing. She was making appearances in an interview with Chris Como. She said, like I said, I'm planning my future, not my legacy. Some people would call that blind denial. I prefer to call it rebellious hope,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not stopping anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
That became kind of a catchphrase.
We see rebellious
it on
hope.
Yes, we see it on t-shirts. That was a phrase that people associate with her.
Yeah.
Because that's what she did. No matter what prognosis she was given, no matter what news, she continued to dream and to push forward. Just to give another example of that attitude, that belief that she had inside her. It was during that same CNN interview that she said, and I believe in dreams for all of our lives that originated in the imagination of God. And just think about, don't you want to see what happens if you don't give up? Don't you want to see what happens? That's what I keep saying to myself. So although she could not continue forward, mm-hmm. she did make an appearance on AGT.
Oh, when did she do that?
It was through video.
Okay.
Yes. It was when they were doing their live show taping. I'm not sure what month it was, but probably, okay. I'm guessing around September.
Okay.
But she came on and she spoke to the judges, and Simon Cowell specifically said to her, we've had conversations. He had been in communication mm-hmm. with her, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you felt like you're letting people down, and I'm assuring you, you are not. Mm-hmm. He said, you are right to focus on your health. And he literally said to her, even though you are not competing in the rest of this season, you have already won.
She affected him.
She did.
In a profound way.
Absolutely. And so many millions of other
yes,
people.
Yes,
but yes.
Just, it was, I don't know another word for it other than profound.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as we've already said, Jane spent her last few years with her brother Andrew in California. Of course, her family was coming a lot. Mm-hmm. That was something Mitch said in that same eulogy at the memorial service. He shared that as close as they were, he had children. I think he had two at that time. Two already and one on the way. Mm-hmm. And he said he wasn't able to stop his life and leave his life mm-hmm. to go be with her full time. But Andrew did. Mm-hmm. And the family was there a lot. And Jane continued to pursue her music and work on her health. And she continued to keep her more than 1 million Instagram followers up to date on her life.
Of which I was one. Am one. Still
yes.
follow her.
And her poetry.
Yeah.
And her posts, just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. But her last post was on January 11th of 2022, and she died on February 19th of 2022 at the age of 31 in California with her family around her. On March 4th of 2022, there was a celebration of life for her, which was live streamed and held at the Cornerstone Church in Ohio. And it had, I think it was almost 2 million views on that video. Plus,
wow.
I'm not sure how that works, but probably more who were not, you know, registering because mm-hmm. they were watching it live, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. It was beautiful. I watched most of it. I didn't quite make it all the way to the end, but it was powerful. Mm. Her brother, Mitch and Caitlin, as I've said, led worship through singing. Many family members and friends spoke, one of those being her father. They had programs that featured a black and white photo of Jane and part of an original poem she'd written. The poem is entitled A Hero in Flames, and the part that they put on the program were the last four lines that read, I would like to die like Joan of Arc, with dignity and urgency and stubbornness. A watercolor portrait in the night, a sight to behold. A hero in flames. And one person who spoke tore me up. It was her friend Abby.
Yeah.
And Abby is the one who, if you've seen any of Jane's interviews or just noticed her tattoos,
yeah.
she has one of a little heart on the
yeah.
inside of her arm. She convinced her friend Abby, who swore that she was never going to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Abby tells about this in her talk at the Celebration of Life. She said Jane convinced her to do it, and then Jane would call her up periodically and say, how's your heart, Abby?
Aww.
How's your heart? And so she said that's every time she looks at it, she thinks of Jane. And Abby's talk was alternately laugh out loud amusing as she told stories of what the two of them got up to.
Yeah.
And then I'd be sobbing, literally
yeah.
tears running down my face. Crying.
Yeah.
But one of the cute stories she told, she said that Jane had the most mischievous personality, that she was just so full of life and so full of fun, and she was always coming up with something. And she said they were partners in crime because their thing was if one of them had a crazy idea and shared it, then the other one would then take it to the next level.
Oh, like yes and, but to the
exactly,
extreme.
Exactly. So she said one day at college, Jane came up and said, let's take the car and do Cash Cab. And
what is that?
Have you never seen that show on the Game Show Channel?
No.
This fella, the MC, the host, drives around and people unwittingly get into a cab just because they want to go somewhere. And he says, you're in Cash Cab, lights flash. And he starts asking them questions. And every time they get one right, they earn more money.
Oh.
You get three strikes. But if you make it to the end, your destination, and you have not struck out, you can take the money that you've earned so far, or you can do a double or nothing question.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if you strike out three times, it doesn't matter where you wanted to go. Get out of the cab.
Oh, that's stressful.
He pulls over. You're done. I mean, he's nice about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Jane says to Abby, we're doing Cash Cab, Abby says, and let's get some lights and a flashlight. So they did Cash Cab. That's this is just funny. One of the so many things they got up to. But anyway, it was beautiful. The celebration of life was just absolutely so powerful, so touching. And I think that it really helped. I think it helped everyone to celebrate who she was. And for people like me, mm-hmm. I felt like I knew her.
Get to know her.
At a different level mm-hmm, mm-hmm. after listening to people talk about just how wonderful she was in every way. Mm-hmm. You know, a quote that they shared from the eulogy that was printed. Those who knew her enjoyed her larger-than-life personality and sense of humor. She had a witty joke for every occasion, even if the joke was on her. Yeah. So since her passing, Jane's legacy has continued in several ways. One of the most notable being the Nightbird Foundation that was started by and is run by her family. Mm-hmm. The idea that Mitch told this. The idea was first developed when Mitch and Jane were talking one day in California. Mm-hmm. He was visiting her, and of course, she just knew she was going to get well. So he said he liked to ask her about her dreams.
Yeah.
He would say, tell me, where are you going to live? What's next? And so she would talk and share all these things. And something that had happened when she was sick was a GoFundMe campaign, because the treatments that she was seeking was not the typical path of treatment. Remember, yeah. She was trying something different.
So insurance would have been.
Insurance mm-hmm. would not cover it.
Right.
They started a GoFundMe. After her audition and her exposure on America's Got Talent, money started pouring in. Uh-huh. And that's what allowed her to pursue these treatments.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And so in this conversation, Mitch said to her, what are you going to do with the extra money that's left in the GoFundMe account mm-hmm. after you get well and mm-hmm. you're making a living again? Mm-hmm. Because they knew that they wanted, that money was not theirs to keep.
Sure.
It needed to go somewhere.
Right.
So that's when Jane said, you know, I'd like to help other people who are in the same position I'm in. I would like it to go, you know, for something like how it's helped me. Mm-hmm. And there's where the idea of the Nightbird Foundation came into being. And in fact, I went and looked at the site just a couple days ago, and it says that GoFundMe has over $705,000 that's been donated. That's just one avenue of money coming in. There's now a note that says any funds that come in now go straight to the Nightbird Foundation, and it explains the mission and how that money's used if you want to make donations now. But the Nightbird Foundation is this organization that I'm actually going to let Mitch explain to you.
Okay.
The Nightbird Foundation is a 501c3 that our family set up after Jane passed away in 2022. And on a high level, we exist to bring hope and to bring healing to those who need it. And we do that in a handful of ways, but one of the main ways we do this is we spread Jane's message of hope through our gifts of hope that we give to people that are going through cancer. They contain some of Jane's writings, her new poetry book, a CD, a cup, and like a handwritten note. And because what we really want to do is we want to take everything that Jane was and what she stood for and what we were inspired by, and we want to give it to those who need it. So we focus right now on giving it to women with cancer, but the ability for us to scale and to be able to give this to anybody who needs it is really on our radar, because that audition struck a chord with a lot of people, and we want to be able to share that with people all over the world. So you can go to nightbirdfoundation.org. There you can donate. You can sponsor a gift of hope to go to a woman with cancer. You can help sponsor grants that go to women with cancer. You can host an event. You can host a book club. You can volunteer. Because at the end of the day, we just know that there are hopeless people sitting in chemo chairs, sitting in bedrooms, sitting in cars, sitting all over the place, and they're ready to give up. And we want to encourage them that they don't have to.
So I love that. Mm-hmm. And what I love even more is that while her family is helping her to fulfill that dream, helping others like herself, you know, going through this very, very difficult time, mm-hmm. this struggle, they also are helping her fulfill her other dream. Since her passing, her family has continued to release more of her music mm-hmm. and even a book of her poetry called Poems for the Dark, which contains a foreword by Simon Cowell. And all the proceeds go to the Nightbird Foundation. And as we said, they also give some of Jane's poems and music.
That's so good.
To the people, yes, who are recipients of mm-hmm. the Nightbird Foundation gifts of hope. I don't know if I've said this, but Mitch actually runs the Nightbird Foundation.
Oh.
Yeah. So Jane's legacy has continued in other ways too. I know you saw this because we talked about it off mic, but during the 18th season premiere of America's Got Talent on May 30th of 2023, a South African youth choir performed It's Okay. And it was so moving.
It was.
I went back and watched it again, and it's beautiful, first of all, but it's also just so powerful.
I know.
And one of the choir members was quoted as saying that they recorded the song after hearing Nightbird sing it on AGT. The actual quote is, "This song has been such a pillar of strength for us as a choir through difficult times. We just want to continue her legacy, and that's why we chose this song."
It was perfect.
Absolutely. And if you watch it, if you go back and look at it, you can see that it moved the judges, particularly Simon Cowell again. And he said, "I know how much this would have meant to her. It would. Right until the end, she was so passionate about sharing her music, and this has gone all over the world, and you've come back here with the most amazing tribute. It was just breathtaking." And the audience started chanting, "Golden buzzer, golden buzzer," and they gave them collectively the golden buzzer as the audience golden buzzer.
Armchair psychologist.
So I think that brings us to our armchair.
I haven't said a lot because I've just been sitting here with this lump in my throat, and I thought, I can't even speak without getting so emotional. And her story, I mean, we've covered Anne Frank and Matthew Perry, and the person we're going to cover next is just, all of it is so sad, but she
moved you.
Yes.
What do you think it is? Why do you think she's spoken to you like that?
I guess it is just that the inner peace despite the dark circumstances that is so inspirational, and you can apply it to your own life. Like with Anne, that was a circumstance that many of us will not find ourselves in. Matthew is a circumstance that some people do find themselves in, but with the extreme fame, that's also something that...
Not in our normal purview,
but
yeah.
This was a, I'm using the term loosely, regular girl who had big dreams and pursued them and just had all of this stuff thrown at her and said, "It doesn't matter, I'm still going to do it." And the fact that she just knew that she was meant to change the world and then did. And there was a quote that came at me. I'm reading the book Shadow of the Almighty by Elizabeth Elliot about the death of Jim Elliot. He's a person that's big in the Christian faith, and he was a missionary who knew that he wanted to be a missionary, and he was killed by the people he was trying to reach. And he had this quote, and it really hit me, and it sort of reminded me of her. And it says, on page 81 of this book, it says, "Remember, you are immortal until your work is done." So it's like Jane had all of this and 2% and everything, but her work wasn't done. And once it was, it's like, okay, you've completed this side of what you were supposed to do. And now you are going to get your reward and it's going to continue. But this is all you were supposed to do. So I don't know. It just is so compelling. And it can make you go, you know, why do people will say, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad people get to live on and good people go early? And it's just the way it is. It's just life. It's just, how do you deal with it? You know, nobody has a perfect life. No one is going to get out of this life with nothing bad happening to them. But she took the bad that happened and she spun it for good. And she said, no matter what happens to me, I think she even says it in that interview. She says, things can fly over you like birds.
I literally was getting ready to bring up that quote.
But if one of them gets in my hair, you know, I'm the boss of that.
She said, I cannot control birds. I cannot keep birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from nesting in my hair.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I literally was getting ready to bring up that same quote because she was so real and so vulnerable. It wasn't like she just put on a facade. She would say in an interview, "This has been a hard month," or "I literally, you know, how have you been doing?" "Well, I was literally curled up in a ball like a cocktail shrimp for the last week."
Yeah.
I mean, she would share with you how hard it was.
Yeah.
And then she would go right on and say exactly things like what we just said.
Yeah.
But here's what I can control. And here's how I'm choosing to be, to behave, to believe.
Right. And I guess on a personal level for me too, while I do not deal with illness on the level that she does, I do have several chronic silent illnesses that I deal with that, again, not comparing myself to her, but there's some stuff that I have pain a lot. I have things that I have to deal with. And even with this horrible cold that I've been dealing with, it's like listening to her, I got to go, okay, get over it. You know, it's okay. it's okay.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I asked Mitch if he would give us some final thoughts about her legacy and how she'd want to be remembered. And this is what he said.
Yeah, answering the question of Jane's legacy is sort of a difficult one because there's so many facets to it. But I think Jane's legacy that she's left with the world is that you don't have to be defined by the situations that you find yourself in. I think that there's hope to be found, I think, in all sorts of circumstances, and there's hope to be found in all sorts of situations. So whether you're a stage 4 cancer patient literally on death's door, or you're a kid being bullied in middle school, or you're just somebody who's going through a messy divorce, or you're someone who his business is falling apart, or you feel like, you know, there's just difficulty being a new mom. I think all of those moments we can find hope in. And I think Jane's legacy is that, you know, what she said was, you don't have to wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy. But I think also she would like to be remembered by just her faith. I mean, the hope that she had in Jesus and her faith in him really freed her up to live life to the fullest, because she knew where she was going after she died. And she knew that it was that she had hope in the future, even if she didn't make it through her cancer. And she knew she had hope in the future if she did. So I think that even that perspective is important to realize, that her faith was such a huge piece of who she was. And it allowed her to be the woman that we all saw on that screen. I think one additional thing I'd like to share about Jane that I think could really help the listeners, and even helps myself on a daily basis, is that, you know, Jane had a really concrete dream, you know, that she was pursuing, that she had a mission, she had purpose, you know, she wanted to be able to transform the world with her music. And I think having that dream, having something out ahead of you, can really help you walk through the dark spots that you're in. And even though she, on paper, she didn't have a lot of hope to live for 30 years, she still had a dream that she was going to change the world, even if she only lived for 2. And so for those who are walking through cancer, or even just walking through a dark moment or a dark time in your own life, I think the importance of a dream and figuring out what is it that drives you, what is it that you'd love to see or to do, how is it that you'd like to help those around you in the world. And I think that that's such a key component to hope, because hope in a generic sense doesn't do much, but hope for a future that you, where we can help those around us, I think is super powerful. And that's a really big piece of why Jane was able to do what she did, how she survived as long as she did, and really how she was able to transform the world in the way that she did as well.
Well, thank you to Mitch for sending in these audio tapes, and thank you for the wonderful work you're doing, continuing your sister's legacy along with your family members, and I know other friends I'm sure are helping as well. And a big thank you to Nightbird for encouraging all of us to pursue our dreams and to really live and enjoy our lives. You have inspired us all. Cheers.
Cheers.
If you love what we do, please rate and review our show. Or you can become a supporter by making a donation through buymeacoffee.com/scandalwaterpod. Whether a single gift or a recurring monthly donation, it would go a long way towards supporting our work and allowing us to keep the tea brewing.
At our website, www.scandalwaterpodcast.com, you can submit questions or your own story ideas, access our sources and show notes, see the merch we offer for sale, and more. You can join the Scandalwater community through our Scandalwater Podcast Facebook page, or follow us on Instagram or TikTok at Scandalwater Podcast.
This episode was executive produced by Candy Thomas, that's me, and Ashley Raymer Brown,
that's me.
It was researched and written by Candy Thomas and edited by Ashley Raymer Brown.
A special thank you to Josh Martin, who wrote, composed, and performed the Scandalwater theme and other music, Matt C. Adams, who created the artwork, and Joshua Reith, who designed our website and provides ongoing technical support.
As a reminder, this podcast is purely for entertainment purposes. The thoughts and opinions of the hosts during each episode of Scandalwater are their own and do not reflect the opinions of any future guests, advertisers, or clearly professional psychologists. Thanks for listening.